stranger. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. I heard somebody preach on this just recently, and I was looking at it, and I go, wow, what a wonderful picture of a very terrible thing. And what we're looking at here is the slow descent from a reliable person, a godly person, if you will, all the way down to the worst sort of person you'd ever want to have anything to do with. And that really is what it is. It is a descent. When something corrupts the morality, when something corrupts your godliness, it is never all at once in one day. It is almost always step by step, piece by piece. A small concession here, a little bit of apathy there, and it snowballs and creates a much bigger problem. Has anybody here, you've ever looked at a government person and wondered, how does somebody like that get so far? Have you ever looked at a person in society with gross moral behavior, and you looked at them and you just thought, how? How does a person become this bad? I have. And the answer is the same. It's never just all at once. It is never really how they were raised. It is all about the decisions and habits and priorities that person has. If anybody's been following that Alex Murdaugh case... If you're not familiar with it, Alex Murdaugh, he was a very prominent lawyer, very famous lawyer, came from a very popular family. Everybody knew the Murdaughs in this area. Well, over time it was revealed that he had been stealing money from his company, been stealing money from the law firm. That money adding up to $7 million. $7 million. My pockets ain't that big to hide $7 million. He had them, though. And not just that, but his son got in trouble. They were operating a speedboat while drunk, got into a wreck, killed a girl. And he was able to use his influence to slow down the, I don't want to use the word inspection, but slowing down them from looking into this thing. That's horrible, isn't it? Then go on to be convicted of murdering that son and his wife. He was hiding a massive addiction to prescription drugs, among other things. He had a lot that he was hiding, and everybody who thought this guy was the guy, I mean, he was everybody loved him, everybody thought he was great, oh, he had all this money, he had a beautiful wife, he had this great career, oh, how fantastic he was. But then all of a sudden you wake up one morning and everybody realizes that's a bad man. But see, what they did was that you pull off the wrapper and you see what's on the inside. You see that what's on the, it didn't just show up that day. It took time. See, what's important for us to realize through this scripture is he's telling his son, there's decisions. And the priorities in your decisions will define what kind of person you are. if we are not serious about the details, if everything I do does not go back to honoring God, then there's a progression waiting for me, and I'm not going to like what happens at the end of this progression. Let's dive into this. So what he says first, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Basically saying this, the very first slip up. Now, of course, we know that if I'm going to fail morally, it's going to start off with trouble in my prayer life, trouble with my Bible study, right? So we've already established those two things. What starts to happen here that turns me from somebody who's got their stuff together to somebody who doesn't? The words that come out of this mouth don't mean anything. That's the first step. When I can make, hey, I promise we will do this, and that day never comes. Hey, let me borrow $5, and that $5 never comes back. No, if you need me, I'll be there. And that never happens. When this no longer matters, you're on the wrong path. And that's what he's saying. If you're striking hands with people, you're bound to that. You're solid to that. I've known a lot of people, they just chuck words out there. They've got no idea what it means. No idea how it applies to the conversation, but there's people making mouth sounds, so they've got to make mouth signs. You know what I'm talking about? The difference between having something to say and just having to say something. We make a lot of promises that way. We make a lot of deals that way. We got to be serious about what comes out of our mouths. We got to be purposeful. And the old story of, well, I wasn't thinking, oh, you know what, I didn't mean to say that. What did you mean to say, and how'd you mess that up so badly? Right? Well, I didn't mean to make it sound so mean, but you used mean words. You called names. You made threats, or you made promises. Well, when I said that, I didn't mean to promise, but you used the word promise. Our words have to mean what they say. We all like the term Christian, but to be Christian means to be Christ-like. And Christ, when he spoke, he was purposeful. When he spoke, he had intention behind everything he said. He did not go back on a single thing he promised. Everything he said he would do, he did. I'll die, I'll come back. He even did that. If we are going to be Christ-like, then Christ-like we must be with our words. So whatever it is that we've got out there, we've got to settle it and settle it fast. The way you, and sometimes we think we've got a little bit of leg room because, hey, this is my friend. They will understand. So you're telling me somebody that you love, somebody that you like, should put up with more malfeasance because they love you. Does that sound right? Well, not when you put it like that, right? If I'm just bandying around words, right? No, they'll understand if I'm a few days late on that. They'll understand this. They'll understand that. Listen, if we made a promise... We made a promise. Settle the business. If we made a deal, hold up the deal. Do your business. And we see there that it is the beginning of a slide to the character of a person. Now, why should we care about our character? Because if you're saved, you're a child of God, you're a member of this church, you owe it to God to have a good character. Each and every one of us are a billboard to the world, to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's on your billboard? What do you look like? Do I give good directions? You ever see those? You drive down the freeway, it's just a pair of eyes. You ever see those? Billboard on the side of the road, it's just a pair of eyes. I have no idea what that is. Danielle had to look that up for me. It is literally just the advertising company hoping you'll Google it. So to go back to that company saying, hey, no, we're selling billboard space. Oh, okay. That's horrible because you didn't give me your number. I can't call it. I got no idea what you're selling. All I know is that billboard's looking at me funny. That's all I know. What kind of billboard are you? Do you just look funny? Or are you doing the job? I hate going by a billboard and it's broken. Those fancy ones, they look so nice until they break, don't they? The ones that just change, they're the big digital displays. Those look so nice until they're broken. And then you're like, I can't read half that thing. Some of us, that's the way we are. We've got these tremendous flaws that everybody sees in the working and doing of the work of Jesus Christ. Oh my, we got to do a little bit better, because we got to show who we are and where we came from. It's not about our ego. As I've said in Sunday school class this morning, it's not about how good you look. Your character belongs to Christ. I am a representative of Him. If I want to be called Christ-like, I better be Christ-like, because I am misrepresenting Him. Oh, I want to be real. I want to be honest. We had this thing we were doing at work, and we're supposed to dress up as different characters of a thing, and I wasn't going to do it. And they said, "Well, why?" I go, "Because I'm big. No matter what I am, I'd be the fat version of whatever it is you chose." What about Charlie Chaplin? I'd be the fattest Charlie Chaplin you ever see. Right? It just wouldn't be right. If he was alive today, he'd probably sue me for making fun of him. I want to be real. I want to be as best a representation of the Lord as I can. So if I've got business dealings, I've got something going on, hey, I promise I'll do this, hey, I ought to be there, then you better be there, and you better handle it. Not just handle it, but handle it quick. Clear it up. Because I'll tell you this, the way you treat your friends says a lot about you. And the more you practice a slack hand, the more slack your hand will be. The lazier you get, the more apathetic you get, right, the easier it'll be to progress in that line of thinking. We practice bad behavior as much as we do good behavior. I've got a trombone in my house right now that my mom told me that I had to practice and work at. I cannot play it right now. You want to know why? Because I did not practice it. I did not play it. I've unused it for more years than I used it. Now it just sits there. I could still probably make the noise for a while, but nowhere near what I used to could do. Right? I've probably forgotten most of the positions and the things like that. It's a very complicated instrument, although it looks like a lot of fun. It just sits there. And the longer it sits there, the more this thing forgets. We practice good behavior as much as we practice bad behavior, and we get real good at whatever we practice. Right? So careful, careful with how much time you give yourself in the handling of your business. We see here as we continue on, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. We need to handle things. Everything you say, everything you do needs to be right and kept with. If I make a promise, I'm holding to that promise. There's no getting around from it. There's no getting away from it. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. What we got to do is we got to make sure we clear up all the ledgers. Every day we ought to have a clear ledger out there. You owe an apology to somebody, you get that to them before the day ends. Don't wait. Well, the next time I see them, I'm going to sit down with them, and I'm going to have a long conversation. I'm going to apologize for what I did, and I'm going to make everything right. Well, you don't have any guarantee you're going to see that person again. Take care of it today. Because you know what happens when you leave that spot open? Bitterness comes in. I remember my grandpa, he put some flagstone in the back of his yard. So as you'd come out of the back of the side door and you went into the backyard, you could walk across these stones. And these stones were connected together. They're real beautiful. But one of the stones, they broke. And he wasn't bothered to replace it, but he did want to repair it. And so what he did is he took this goo stuff and he put it in there so he could seal up that crack. And I said, "Grandpa, why are you putting the glue in there?" He says, "Well, if I don't put glue in there to seal it up, seeds and grass will grow out of it. It'll make it worse. If I keep my ledgers open where my apologies are concerned, bitterness will grow." And what happens over time with an apology that's never given? It makes the problem worse. Now they're talking about it, I'm talking about it. They feel bad, I feel bad. Both of us are in sin because we've got this open-ended problem here. We need to make some apologies and get some things right. Clear up your ledgers. If it is a deal, if it is money that is owed, if it is something that was left undone, a promise that is left unkept, we need to close those things up. We need to take care of them. Because the more we're willing to accept less from ourselves is the moment we become less. We need to hold ourselves to that standard. Small sums add up fast. You know, we were talking to a young girl. She was probably 23, 24. And we were trying to get her into an apartment. And her thing was, I have good credit. I go, well, I ran your credit and you have a lot of debt. She goes, well, I don't have a lot of debt, but I do have a small amount of debt over a lot of different credit cards. And I said, yeah, I saw that. I've been meaning to ask you. You've got 8 of them or so. I can't remember the exact number, but it was just under 10. I go, you've got a very small amount of debt spread out over all these things. But when you add them together, it is quite significant and it is yet unpaid. And they seem very cranky about it because they put it on your credit. Oh. So what should I do? Pay them. Then can I get the apartment? Yes. Yeah, we were really cool like that. If you paid it off or you got some kind of payment agreement and they sent you a letter saying, hey, we're under a payment agreement, we got everything taken care of, we'd let you in. Okay. And that's what she did. She paid it all off, came back the next day with a handful of receipts. Everything was fine. But small things gang up on you. A little apology needed over here. A little apology needed over there. A little money over here. A little unfulfilled promise over there. It gangs up on you. It builds up on you. We live in a society, brother was talking about our generation today. We got a great generation, and it begs the question, why are we so anxious when we've got solutions people ain't ever had? We're doing so much better than anybody else at any other given time. Why is anxiety on such a rise? And I think it's because we've got a lot of things we're just not dealing with. And we ain't dealing with right. Handle a lot of that anxiety, you clear some of your ledger off. If you didn't have a problem, if you didn't have a little fire burning in everything you're touching, you'd be so much happier. Things would be so much better. Let's dig our hands and swallow our pride, humble ourselves in front of our friends and get that right. You know, that's a big problem a lot of people have. I don't want to look humble in front of my friends. I don't want them to think less of me. That is the most prideful thing I've ever heard in my life. If I owe an apology, I owe an apology. If I owe a debt, I owe a debt. If I need to fulfill a promise, I need to fulfill a promise. Right? I need to take care of those things fast. Verse 4, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. And I was talking to somebody one time, and I quoted a famous person. I love this quote. I really do think that it helps. They said, I've got all these responsibilities now. I've got work responsibilities, church responsibilities, responsibilities to my wife, responsibilities to my kid. And he goes, how do you get it done? I go, I just sleep a little faster is what I do. I just sleep a little faster. Get it done. Sometimes you're going to lose some sleep. To get everything done, you got to get done. To give everybody what you owe them proper. And of course, healthy boundaries and all that good stuff, I understand. But if I owe a responsibility to somebody, I owe a responsibility to them. Those kids in the back, I owe a responsibility to them. I'm dad. Right? Well, you got to put yourself first. Nope, I made a decision a long time ago to have kids. I put them first. That lady in the back row, I made a promise to her the day I married her. Okay, I made a promise. I owe stuff to her. Right? I owe a commitment to her. So if I got to lose a little sleep to take care of some things, I lose a little sleep to take care of some things. And believe me, I have. Believe me, I have. Folks, that's what we must do to those we've made promises to. We've got to stand up and fulfill our oaths. We got to stand up and fulfill our promises. We got to stand up and be there for our responsibilities. And that's really what we're talking about. You start getting lazy in your responsibilities, things will fall apart. We live in a society today where they keep talking on and on about how you got to take your responsibilities with less seriousness. All right, you got to have more leisure time. I'm all for leisure time. You ought to take time. I've got sermons on taking time and clearing your mind out and all that good stuff. You've heard me preach them. But there comes a time when you've got to get out of the coffee shop. You got to get out of your pajamas and you got to get stuff done. we cannot lose the responsibilities that we have in our lives. A promise is a promise. Debts must be paid. Forgiveness must be asked for and given. And you know, we talk about that. I said you have to give an apology. Sometimes you got to give forgiveness even though you don't want to. Did you know that's a debt that you owe to the Lord? If somebody has wronged you, you owe it to the Lord to forgive them. Well, they don't deserve it. We're not talking about them. We're talking about what the Lord has done for you and you've forgiven them. And by the way, you ain't hurting them by holding on to your unforgiveness. You ain't hurting nobody but you. You sit there and ignore somebody all the rest of your life. Hate them, be bothered by them, refuse to forgive them. And I'll tell you what, all that's ever going to hurt is you. It ain't going to hurt that person. I think of somebody right now, they hurt me in such a bad way. I can sit there and I can mumble over it and I can fumble. I can get mad about it. I can get fussy about it. But I forgave them a long time ago. So now when their name is mentioned, I don't want to throw rocks. I don't want to call names. And I didn't give it to them because I thought they deserved it. That's why there's forgiveness. If they deserved forgiveness, they wouldn't be getting forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? If they deserved forgiveness, they wouldn't need forgiveness. But God gave it to us when we didn't deserve it. So I gave that to the Lord. So Lord, I'm going to forgive them. And guess what? Life got a whole lot sweeter. Handle the stuff. Resist falling into danger in these dealings. Verse 5, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. There's devastation that comes when you don't handle your responsibilities. There's trouble that comes. You lose friendships. You bust up all your relationships. Sometimes that debt to the bank comes back at you. Sometimes that debt to the credit card companies come back to get you. Sometimes that problem at work gets bigger and it comes and it costs you your job. Holding back on your responsibilities, not handling your responsibilities, comes back and bites you. And in that moment, you're going to feel like a deer in front of a hunter. You're going to feel like a bird being hunted down by somebody. And you're going to feel like the victim, but guess what? You put yourself out there. Remember that movie, the Bambi? They didn't do a live-action version of Bambi yet, did they? We're still on the cartoon version of that one? Okay, cartoon version of Bambi. I remember watching that. Now, my dad was a hunter. He made no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So when I watched that movie for the first time, I had seen a deer strung up in the backyard or two. So when she went out into that, clear space, I knew it was going to happen. The music crescendoed. It got all serious, dude. And you know what's going to happen. And I sat there. I go, don't go out there, dummy. And she went out there. She got hit. Many of us, we don't take care of our responsibilities, and then we moan and we cry. Well, I just feel like everything's hunting me right now. Everything's after me right now. Well, you set the dogs on yourself. What did you think was going to happen? Right? You picked a fight by not handling your responsibilities. What did you think? Now listen, I understand some people get speed bagged. Sometimes people genuinely fall down. I'm all for helping people who are overwhelmed. But when we consistently and constantly put ourselves into a bad situation, there ain't nobody going to be able to help you for all that long. Right? We used to do that back in the apartments too. You pay late one time, I'd waive it. I'd waive it. Oh, Matt, you don't understand. My check didn't clear on time. By the time I got home, this had to happen, that had to happen. I got it to you a week late. I'm so sorry. Hey, I tell you what. $75 late fee on the account, but I'm going to waive it for you first time. No problem. You come back to me on the 7th, 8th, 9th time, I can't do it anymore. Literally, the button disappears. Like they set it up in the software. The button disappears. I can't. Right? All for compassion, all for grace. I've received plenty of it myself from the Lord, plenty of it myself in life. Not against compassion, not against grace, but you eventually put yourself in a place where people can't help you anymore. I've seen it. You live off of this person, you live off of that person, you live off of this or that, all up into the time to where they can't help you anymore. And all of a sudden, you're skating, you're hurting. The streets are filled with people living right now on them. Because they ran out of people to cover up for their mistakes. And that's sad. I'm not saying anything negative, derogative towards those people. I'd like to buy them all lunch. I would. Man, if we could cover them, house them, get them help, get them training, teach them about life, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. But eventually we get such a big problem, we ain't got pockets deep enough to help everybody in that situation. You know what I'm saying? You live out in the meadow, you eventually are going to have to deal with a bullet or two. You fly in open skies like that, there's going to be trouble. So what we must do is we've got to handle our responsibilities. Well, nobody likes dealing with you because you're a liar. Who wrote that? Who did that? You did that. You know? Nobody likes playing games with you because you cheat. Nobody's going to give you any line of credit because you owe so much. No, I don't want you coming around here because that was my best friend who you said those words to, and I've got no time for you. Who does that? We do that. Handle our business. Handle our business, and things will be fine. So resist falling into danger in our dealings. So when the words of my mouth and the sureness of my actions have now been affected, let's continue on and see. Now that we're there, what happens next? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? So what we see there is an admonition to go to the hardest working creature we can think of, and that is the ant. And that's the ant. You know what happens to a lot of these sports, these athletes, who go professional, and they get all this money in their pocket. You know what happens to the vast majority of them? Bankruptcy before they're done throwing the ball around. That's sad. That bothers me. Because, I mean, you see, like, the big ones, right? Shaq is still rich. Michael Jordan is rich beyond all imagination, right? They took care of things. They got jobs. They did their business. But the vast majority of them fall into bankruptcy. Why? Because just because you have resources doesn't necessarily mean you know how to use resources. So what does the ant know how to do? The ant knows how to work. I mean, you ever see a group of ants work? It's incredible. You sit there, go out, and you see something on the ground, and you see them being able to lift stuff up and carry tremendous amounts of weight. They work together, too. They've got no problem. 7, 8, 9 of them working together to pull off one big piece of something. Or they'll get the specialty ants to come in and shred it apart, and other ants will carry it in, and they all bring it in, and then what do? They store it inside. They feed the queen. They store the food, and we got different caverns to store our food in. So that way, when it gets nice and cold out, what happens? They don't got to come out into the snow to look for anything. We've got it right where we need it. And they're on almost every continent except for one. It's because it's so blisteringly cold there, there's no way for anything to survive. Right? They thrive everywhere else. They look different. They've got different sizes and shapes, and some will hurt you, some will fly. Oh, but they all know how to do the work, and they all know how to do their job. I was watching on a documentary. There's this area where they'll go, and if they catch any kind of disease or any kind of mold that gets on them, that if they brought it back into the colony, it would kill the colony. They had things, they have guard ants that are posted up by the door. They detect any of that from an ant coming in. They will take that ant out, kill it, and then they'll lay there themselves until they die from whatever that thing was, and they won't come back. Ants are hard workers. Ants know what their jobs are. You know, so often we don't do that. We sit there and we see, well, on TV, they're always at the restaurant. On TV, they're driving the big fancy cars. I believe it was Debbie Stabenow gave us the great advice that if you're having a hard time affording gas right now, you should just go out and buy an electric vehicle. That was a Michigander, folks. I know there was somebody else recently who just said that. But I remember sitting there watching her on TV. She was giving that announcement. She goes, oh, yeah, I'm grateful to have an electric car, and I really think everybody ought to go buy one if you're struggling with gas right now. Somebody look up Kelly Blue Book. Let me know how much those things cost right now. Right? Oh, no, I got to have the Tesla. I've got to have the $300,000 house. I've got to have the fancy pool in the backyard. I've got to have the biggest TV my door will allow in it. I've got to have these things because everybody else has these things. These are status symbols. I've got to have them. The $12 Walmart water bottle is not good, but give me this $70 hydro flask. That's what I want. Right? I don't want just a pair of running shoes. I want the top of the line Nikes that I can only take out to show other people. Other than that, I got to leave them in the glass case that they're in. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. Did you know the reason for money is to buy food, lodging, and the things you need? You know, that's what it's there for. And if you've got a little extra, you have a little fun with it, right? Some people put the cart before the horse. They give everything to entertainment and lousy food. And they've got very little to cover the serious things. We need to put the work in. We need to get up and going. We've got a serious problem in this country with people not wanting to do work, not knowing what good work is. And we've got a ton of people who are happy in the office. We've got a ton of people who are happy sitting collecting a check. We've got a ton of people who only want to do the very specific thing they were hired for. They never want to branch into anything else. We've got a lot of problem with work ethic. If this stops meaning true, the next thing that happens is my work ethic suffers. Right? This guy very easily through work, through his, this Alex Murdaugh guy, he very easily could have, because he was doing some real estate stuff, he could have made a ton of money in real estate, but he wasn't doing all that good there. Wasn't putting in the proper effort, wasn't doing the proper research. Could have made that $7 million anywhere else, but what did he do? He stole it. He took it. We're much more willing to take than we are to give, or what we're willing to take than we are to work for it, to build for it, to earn it. We need to go to the ant who works hard, who works for the benefit of itself as well as for others, who prepares and stores and plans. See, there's a difference between the way I grocery shop and the way my wife grocery shops. My wife has a calculated science down to the way. We don't have anything extra, right? Some people, I see them go to the stores, they go to Sam's, they go to Costco, they come in, they've got, you know, dozens of bags of potato chips and just all this pop and soda and all these goodies and cookies. My wife don't do that. Now, my wife could give me an exact list of everything we need, and I can go out and get it, and I will still be $50 more than if she would have gone to get it. It's a science. I don't know what kind of magic she's doing over there, right? But there's something to the mind that can do that. You understand what I'm trying to say? They can build, prepare, store, plan, think, plot things out. There's something to it. And if we lose the ability to do that, our work ethic is being affected. Our ability to use resources is affected. We are one step closer to calamity. One step closer to trouble, right? I mean, we look as a country, we are trillions of dollars in debt. That doesn't even sound like a real number to me anymore. Some of you, I mean, you grew up and the national debt was such a way. Could you have imagined if I came to you, when some of you who are now retired, if I came to you in your 30s and said, hey, by the time you're retired and relaxing, we're going to be trillions of dollars in debt as a nation. You'd think I was crazy. What's a trillion? But we're there. How does that happen? Well, we make bad decisions. We make bad decisions. Now, what eventually happens? The roosters come home to roost. Eventually, that's going to be a problem for us. Right now, we're playing games to resist any trouble, but the signs of trouble are already appearing. The signs of issues in our infrastructure are becoming more apparent and more apparent every day. Happens in a micro way in the individual home. The trouble begins to present itself, and the signs are undeniable. Right, poor work ethic leads to bills not paid, leads to the house falling apart, leads to things with the children and things with the marriage not being taken care of as they should. And again, you can be as nitpicky as you want or not. I'm not here to pick on one way or the other, but I tell you what, our responsibilities need to be taken care of. And if our work ethic ain't right, they're not going to be taken care of. What's the next thing that's said there as we continue to read? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. There was a guy that worked for me, and he would go into these apartments. I'd have him go into the apartments, and his job was to fix anything that was broken, touch up anything, while the rest of the contractors we hired would do the rest. So if the drawer was busted, the refrigerator needed to be replaced, whatever we needed to do to get our stuff right for the next person. Well, I'd put him into these apartments. It would take him 7 days to get anything done. And what got done wasn't all that good. You know what I found? Every time I went to go visit him during his work, he was sleeping. Caught him once. I reprimanded him. I said, hey, listen, man, you can't be sleeping in here. If you've got a medical condition, you got something like that, you got to bring me a doctor's note. But, man, I cannot put you in here if you're sleeping. He said, all right, man, I'm sorry. It was just after lunch. I'm sorry. I go, okay. I caught him again. I wrote him up. Caught him again. I wrote him up another time. Caught him one more time. Let it go because the next step was firing him, and I didn't want to do that to him. Well, I caught him two more times, and I fired him. One of the hardest things I had to do. He looked me in the eye and said, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And I thought of this verse in that moment. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So, what comes next? Poverty. Those things catch up to you. A very literal sense, or a very little case, where sleep stole something from somebody, and that was their job. I didn't do this to you. I just don't have an extra $20 an hour, whatever I was paying the guy. I have an extra $20 an hour to give you to fall asleep. Right? I just paid $40 for you to catch up on your sleep. No, thank you. Right? It ain't right. So what do we see there? This obsession again. And that's literal sleep. You know, we sleep in ways that aren't exactly sleep, right? I don't have my phone on me. But how many times you see that? You're sitting there, you're maybe at a restaurant or you're somewhere else, and you see somebody who's clocked in and working, and they're on that phone. I tell you what, I told one of our leasing agents, if you were on my phone as much as you were on your phone, you'd get a big old bonus. Because we were talking about bonuses, and they had to have the X amount of applications before they would get that bonus. I go, if you're on my phone as much as you're on your phone, you'd have made that bonus. I go, you don't get it. It ain't my money. I love giving it away. I'd give it to anybody, but that ain't going to get it for you. I tell you what, the more we sit there and let our responsibilities kick by as we're flicking on that phone or scrolling on our tablets, the more trouble we're going to be in. Sometimes we've got responsibilities, we don't handle them. Not because we're distracted, but because we just don't want to. So we sleep on it. We wait on it. We do nothing for it. What does the scripture tell us to do? Wake up. Wake up and get to work. Wake up. Stop sleeping all the time. Stop wasting time. Because poverty will come of it. And I like how they put it too. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. It's coming. Right? You ever sat there and waited for a plane? Or you waited for something? Nowadays we could track packages. I don't know why that is. Every time I've got a package coming, I watch that thing. You know, it's never late. It's never a trouble to me. It's never something I desperately need. I just like watching it. Okay, well now it's in Texas. I made it up to Tennessee. Why on earth is it in Wyoming? You know, I didn't watch that stuff. Well, poverty will come the same way. It's on its way. Sure enough, it's going to get here. When? We aren't sure. But it's coming. We also see there, and thy want as an armed man. Now we understand that want there to be a lack of. I'm lacking something. I need something. Right? All of a sudden that need will come in like an armed man. Because I've never known anybody whose lights were shut off that didn't feel like they were being held up. I've never met anybody who had a car repossessed or an eviction notice put on their door or some kind of issues in their relationship where they didn't feel like it was a hostile environment. It is. And that's what the kind of responses those things get. We need to be true in our dealings or else trouble will come. Laziness is a murderer. We need to shun it with everything that we have because it comes with poverty. It comes with need. It comes with things we don't want. Verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. So the words of my mouth and the shaking of my hands means nothing. It then progresses to my work ethic and my ability to stand up and handle my responsibilities, struggling and falling. Then what happens? Well, if I can't do things right, then comes the temptation to do things wrong. Then comes the temptation to misrepresent things, to cheat and to trick. Anywhere from table talk at a game of euchre, all the way over to deceitful words and deceitful practices to get gain where they shouldn't be getting gain. Just corrupt dealings, poor behavior, you know. It doesn't just start off with robbery, does it? Starts off small. I stole something from the store when I was a kid. I just put it in my pocket. Then I got really good at putting things in my pocket. Nowadays, you go to Walmart, they're sitting there checking your receipt. Make sure you didn't steal anything. Why? Because they got a lot of theft taken from them. They got a lot of things stolen from them. I can't remember the exact number on it, but it's a gross amount that's being stolen. And that's where people get their practice. So I'm going to take this, I'm going to take that. Brother Dennis tells how people just walk out of the store with carts. Just fill up the cart and walk out. And of course, if you're working there, I got to decide, do I chase you down where you might have a weapon, or do I let you have those? I'll be honest with you, brother, I don't know what they tell you. I just assume let them keep that. I ain't following you. Right? I'll get a picture of your driver's license. I'll tell the police officer what you look like. But I ain't chasing you back to your car, not over some groceries. Theft. Right? Little stealing little things. Works up to stealing a whole cart. Why? Because I didn't handle everything else. Now I gotta backfill. I gotta start stealing from my company. I gotta start taking this and taking that. It took me a long time to figure out why we were ordering more and more toilet paper for our property than we ever had before. It was because a handful of my maintenance guys were taking it home with them. And I'm like, guys, am I not paying you enough? Like, are you struggling that bad? Do we need to talk? And they're like, oh, no, we just, you know, the company had so much of it. And the wife calls and says we need toilet paper. So we just grab it. I'm like, all right, well, I tell you what, stop it. And if I've got to order more beyond this, there's going to be write-ups. Never had a problem with it again. Starts off small, little stuff, works up to bigger stuff, works up to a complete failure of our morality altogether. And again, you're failing at every step along the way, but when we get to the point where we're looking at some serious jail time, we ain't doing stuff right. Right? We get into such a bad level of malfeasance that we're struggling just to stay out of jail. And what do we see here of these characteristics? We see a mouth. It says, frowardness. Excuse me, a naughty person, this is verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. That mouth is froward. It ain't right. It is filled with nastiness. A worthless man, a man of Belial, or a perverseness to the way they speak. Right? They're vile in their communication. I don't like people that can't talk without swear words. You ever meet them? I'm an adult. I know swear words and people use them, but there's some people out there that is the entirety of their diction. There's a difference between peppering and something just being pepper. And that's the way every other word is something or other, and it's really rough. There's a perverseness to it. Sometimes it's not just the curse words. Sometimes it is the content of the matter, the things that they talk about. I got no joy in that either. You know, people got to talk filthy, talk about disgusting things, make disgusting jokes, tell vile and mean things. I don't have time for that. I don't have any energy for that. I don't want to be any part of that. Right? But that is what springs from a debauched heart and mind. When the mind has become so defiled and the conscience so seared to get to this point, this is the inevitable next step. And that is, not only can this not be trusted, but this becomes a problem in life. This becomes a vile part of life. So a wicked mouth. Next we see in verse 13, he winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. What is that? We use body language to trick and to do things. We sat there. We were messing with my brother, and we would do this. We would hold up multiplication cards or something like that, and I think it was shapes or something is what we had, and we would hold it up like this to him. We saw this on TV, and we would hold it up. He'd have the blank side, I would have this side, and one of my cousins would be over here. And I would say, Jason, can you name the shape that's on this? He goes, I can't see it. I go, guess. He go, I can't. He goes, is it a circle? No. I mean, there was only a handful of shapes on there. And I'd look over at my cousin. I go, do you know what it is? It's a square. Well, that's right. And I'd hold the paper again. Jason, you know what this is? No. Look over. Do you know what this is? Oh, it's a circle. That's right. You see what I'm doing? Triangle. It's a rectangle. You get the trick? My cousin and I worked this out ahead of time. Saw it on TV. We thought we were real clever. Got my brother into believing my cousin was psychic for a whole afternoon. That poor kid. Mama wonders why he turned out the way he did. I ain't got the heart to tell her. No, we use little things. A wink of the eye. A wink. Hey, over there. Over there. We're using our feet to tap and point. Just some deceitful language, right? To trick others. To the point to where we become predatory in our reaction. Now, we have to be predatory because our mouths don't mean anything. Nobody trusts us. We don't handle our business. Our work ethic is garbage. We can't come by it the right way. So what then has to happen? Well, now I have to steal and take. So I have to devise little things, little tricks, little techniques. A little while you're looking over here, I'm doing a little something over there, right? To get what I need to backfill what I ain't getting from not being honest, right? So we see that, again, another progression. Some lying body language, some tricks, some sneakiness. Verse 14, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. This heart is just in existence to stir up some shenanigans, to cause some trouble, right? You'll see that every now and then in corporate doings. Well, we did this so we could avoid having to pay that. We did this so we hid that there and we shuffled this over here. So that way we, and either way, it comes down to it not being honest. There's somebody out there that's got to think about those things. Somebody out there doing things purposeful. And then later when you get them in front of a judge and jury, they act as though they had no idea this cleverly thought out thing. What they want you to believe it was a complete accident. Oh no, it's clever. Oh no, it's well thought out. But it is from a mind that couldn't get there because nobody trusted them of good merit. And they couldn't work hard enough to get there. But they found a way, a loophole, a sneaky way to get past the law, to get something that they did not deserve. They stir up this strife. They cause this trouble. Why? So they could take from people. They could steal. I think one of the biggest crimes out there in our state right now is this legalized gambling, especially the mobile kind. Man, I go up to Frankenmuth. I go down to some of the rich neighborhoods. I don't see any signs for that. You see any signs for the mobile gambling, the rich neighborhoods? No. Where do you see those signs? Poor neighborhoods. middle class to lower. Why? Wouldn't you think the richer neighborhoods are your market? They got more money. They got disposable income. It won't hurt them to lose $1,000 or so here or there. Why market it to people who would be devastated? Because they know who's using it. And they don't care what they're doing. They know the odds are in their favor. It is a computerized device. You can sit there and push a button and the slot machine doesn't randomly choose. It never has, by the way. There's always been a science to it so that the house always wins. But still, all the same, they get people to believe that through some blinking lights and some beautiful sounds that they might win millions. But in the end, they get raked over. And for whatever reason, our local government has says, yes, this should be legal, absolutely, because business should thrive. Somebody thought about that. Somebody sat there and looked, hey, these kinds of people, this income bracket, spends more on us than this one does. And even though we could hurt people who are already hurting with our product, we're going to market it to them. Somebody did that. But you don't just wake up doing that. You got to build up to it. So then when we sit there, we see the danger, the slippery slope that sin could put us on. We must then also look at the end of it. Verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Now think about this Alex Murdaugh guy. $7 million would have been enough to put him in jail for a long time. Any evidence that he had held off the inspection or the investigation, that's the word, into this death would have put him away for a long time. But in the fury and all the issues, whatever it is that caused him to murder his son and his wife, we see now what happened. Everything he loved, everything he enjoyed was stripped from him. The facade was gone. The name tarnished. And that man could be exonerated tomorrow. That man could be found innocent tomorrow. And that name is still gone. Calamity comes to those that mess around with the wrong things. When we invite sin, when we invite compromise into our lives, be sure that's not where you're going to stay. You will fall backwards. And in the end, you'll end up in a mess that you never would have fathomed. You see, as I obey the Lord and I serve Him, I find myself in places I never could have imagined. But the more we sin, the more we transgress in these ways, the more we find ourselves into trouble we never would have imagined for ourselves. I met somebody who, when I was down in Cincinnati, they came knocking on the church door down there. And they came and they were in jail and they said, listen, I know I just told you that I just got out of jail, but I want you to know I'm a good guy. I want you to know I'm a good guy. I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Told me all the things he didn't do, which was a comfort. And there is that essence. Oh, no, I'm good. I promise I'm a good guy. I promise. I honestly, it just surprised my things even got that bad. I didn't know that I'd get in that kind of trouble for it. Yeah. I firmly believe that there are people in jail right now who did atrocious things, who firmly believe themselves to be good people. But sadly, we don't put just bad people away for jail. We put people in jail for doing bad things. And if you do bad things, it doesn't matter if you think you're a good person or a bad person. The consequence is the same. In the eyes of the Lord, it is the same. You can't do bad stuff and not expect bad things to happen. You can't sit there and allow a degrading of your personal walk, a degrading of your testimony, and then be surprised at how far it got. Because it will always go for as far as you think it should. Think of that one episode of Hoarders. I don't know if Danielle watched that with me or if that was just me. I don't watch a lot of that stuff. A lot of that stuff is just horrible. But there was a lady, she brought home a couple of rats. And she wasn't very good at cleaning her house, and the rats got out. And then they started having children. And then they started having children. And before you know it, the house was condemned. Because rats. You bring in two, that's all you need. That's all you need. If I bring in one sin, if I bring in one compromise, if I mess up in one way, and I continue on in that path, I cannot be surprised when I end up where I don't want to be. I gotta read the signs. If the Bible tells me that something is wrong, if the Word of God tells me to abstain from something, I can't be surprised when calamity comes when I don't. I must honor the Word of God, or sudden calamity will find itself around me. And you think about these people who wake up in these devastating situations where all of the cows have now come home, or the roosters have come home to roost, whatever the phrase is, and they now have the mask has been pulled off. We go, how did this happen? It came out of nowhere. It didn't come out of nowhere. It just looked like it. It had been coming for a while. We've been building to this, but it's been built under the table. It's been built under the mask. It feels sudden, but it ain't sudden. All of a sudden now, when the trap snaps shut, right? We go, oh no, that was serious. That was shocking. But that trap's been there the whole time. And we walked up to it. We see they're also broken without remedy. Broken without remedy. Now, as that man sits in jail, I don't know why he became the central focus of this, but as that man sits in jail, doesn't matter how sorry he is, his son ain't coming back. His wife ain't coming back. He stole from his brother. His brother, that money will never be unstole. Unstolen? That's not a word, no matter how you use it. You can't unsteal something. You can't unsteal from business. You just can't. I can say I'm sorry. I can make amends. I can pay back once, twice, triple, whatever I want to, for whatever it is I damaged. But I can't fix what I did. And what's hurt here can only be built back. It can only be built back. Don't be built back, but I can't fix what was there. There will always be that memory in the lives of people around us of what we did, what we could do. We don't get those things back. We don't get the years of time back that we wasted in slumber. We don't get the time spent building a bad reputation. We don't get those things back. We can build for tomorrow, but the past will always be broken if we broke it. I know a lot of people will be dealing for the rest of their lives with something that was done to them by somebody who let their morality just become grotesque. They will forever be suffering. That's a brokenness that you can't just, you know. So it is better for us to maintain good behavior, proper behavior. So let's take this back. We need to make sure, number one, we're not out there causing shenanigans and trouble. We're not doing awful things. We're not committing crimes, and we're not breaking promises and taking things that aren't ours. We're not doing that. We need to make sure that we are awake and willing to put in the effort for things that deserve the effort, right? Not everybody who asks you to come help move needs help. You only got to help everybody move who's asked you to move. But if you tell them yes, you got to go. You understand what I'm saying? Boundaries are okay. But eventually, I mean, you got to go to work. You got to wake up. Got to help your work ethic. Be willing to put in the effort for it. Don't cheat. I saw that today. They got a brand new thing, and we missed out on it. They got AI that'll write people's, artificial intelligence that'll write people's essays for them now. I go, what? We used to have to copy and paste if you wanted to cheat. I never cheated. I was a really good writer. But Now we get your work done. Do your stuff. Don't rely on cheating and hustles to get by. Taking it back to the beginning part, this needs to mean something to you. What comes out of here is fully under your control. There's no excuses. Let's stop making them. Well, I didn't know what I was saying. Really? You got a hole in your back? Someone shoved a hand through? What happened? Right? Who said that if not you? There was a couple of people I've wanted to come up to and knock on their heads. Who else is in there? Get them out of here. I want to talk to them for a second. Well, I didn't mean to say that. It just kind of came out. Well, whoever sent that out, I want to talk to them. Bring them out here. Stop playing. This should mean something. This should matter. So again, all of it leading back to what? Why? Why should I be diligent in my behavior? Why should I be diligent in my business? Why should I be diligent in my promises? Because I owe it to God. In a world of cheats and hustlers and people who commit crimes to get what they want, people who, even in high places, even in our government, who do terrible things to get ahead, why should we? Because I don't care about them. I care about God. And I owe it to Him. And I'll tell you what, if my behavior clears with Him, it's going to be okay with a lot of other folks. Okay? I'm not hurting anybody if I'm honoring God. I'm helping people if I'm honoring God. You know what I'm saying? So again, our behaviors matter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, please forgive me for going long. I honestly thought I wouldn't be able to stay this long. But Lord, please help us in our endeavor to behave properly in your eyes. Lord, we live in a world of great moral failure where we celebrate people who've committed horrible crimes. I'll never quite understand the way we lift up these people the way we do. But Lord, I pray it not be so among your people, as I'm sure that it's not. Lord, help us to give every action, every behavior to you. Lord, help us to be good stewards, because that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about the doctrine of stewardship, taking care of the things that you've given us. Lord, everything in life was given to us by you. So Lord, help us to honor it. Help us to behave in it. Lord, help us to be able to sit there and lift it back up to you and say we've kept it the way that we should. And that, Lord, we've done no harm. We've done no hurt to those around us. We've taken advantage of no one or nothing. But Lord, we've done everything according to your statutes. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Page 158.